Blog Talk Radio.
This is the RF Radio Show with OJ and Dreadfish.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Radio RF, and it's 6:30 p.m. I'm Dreadfish, here with...
It's OJ, and it's pretty loud right now.
Yeah.
That's me, though.
Cool. No, you sound fine.
Oh, so I'm in an industrial sitting here, and I can't hear anything. Okay, quiet now. I got it.
So why are you in an industrial setting?
I'm at work right now. So I'm double booking it today, you know? Radio, RF, and work, all at the same time. Look at that multitasking skills. And yet I'm slacking on both of them. Who knew?
Well, I had more respect for you now going to work, you know, and then doing the show. Like today, I did a 9-to-5 thing, you know, working on computers, and it was fun, but I'm tired. And so, you know, you do this for every episode, and for that, I salute you.
Well, congratulations on the work. How's the internship going?
It's going pretty well. I've just, like I mentioned, the first camp I was supposed to do was canceled. Low enrollment, so I've just been helping out around the school, preparing computers for use for next semester. So some of them were more crude, like they were for intro type program or classes, you know, like how to do this in Windows, installing certain things, or working on hardware. So real basic, putting together a computer, make sure 2 gigabytes of RAM, working lights on the case, you know, and install Windows on it. And,
which version of Windows are you using?
Windows 7. It's a community college. And so Thursday, I didn't do anything Friday. Thursday and today I've been working on some nicer computers for a cybersecurity class. These are nice. They're the ones I mentioned with the solid-state hard drive. Again, I'm saying press the button and within like 10 seconds you're on the desktop, and that's just something. So, So today, a lot of Windows update stuff. So a lot of it, I was just kind of like supervising the computers while they did their thing, you know. But installing drivers, installing Windows or Microsoft Security Essentials, and then, you know, updates. So, you know, it's been nice. It's chill. I've been working alone, which is great. Had a whole classroom lab to myself and just did that all day. So I like
That's
nice. Great.
Now, you said your first... camp was canceled. Would there be other ones?
Hmm?
You think the first camp was canceled? Would there be like a second camp or something?
Yes, I have in July. There should be 2 of them. And those are game design camps also. I think it's Xbox game design, but I'm not sure how that's going to happen. And then there's some entrepreneurial type class I'll be helping out with in August. So those are cool. Personally, I'm really enjoying just doing the computer tech stuff, and that's nice.
It's definitely the way to go, too, in today's market. But then it's oversaturated at the same time.
Maybe a bit. It seems to be a good thing to get into, I think. And one of the things I'm really attracted to is the fact that it's not so standardized yet, because cybersecurity is a pretty new field. So just actual experience is really valuable right now. Less than
that is
degree.
True.
There are a lot of certifications to get, but a degree itself
it's applicable to almost any type of business or institution, which is what's really clutch about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that it's also fun, so I just think it'll be a good thing to go into.
Okay.
So
as you know, I had my, baby shower, right?
Yeah.
It went very well. I mean, it rained, so, I mean, that was a little disappointing because we had some outdoor activities planned, like we had a barbecue-themed party for our baby shower, and we were going to play, like, horseshoes and have a fire pit and play cornhole and some stuff, but it downpoured, but, I mean, it was still a lot of fun. Everyone still came. And we got lots and lots of baby stuff, so we're mostly setting out just a few items left that we have to get. And at least someone was telling me that the baby shower, as done in America, isn't done over in the UK, I believe. So if you're listening from the UK or maybe another country where they don't do baby showers, the baby showers is a fantastic American invention. You trick all your friends and families and coworkers into buying you stuff for the baby so you don't have to spend any money. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Talked about all day yesterday, actually, just putting everything together, getting the apartment situated for the baby. You know, in our bedroom, we have a crib with a changing table, so I finished setting that up, and then, you know, loaded the changing table with diapers and wipes and ointments and creams and patters and stuff, and changes of clothes, and then in the living room, we have a pack and play that also doubles as a good attachment for the thing that doubles as an infant sleeper and a changing table, which would be very useful to have in the living room.
Cool. So how much longer do you have until the baby is due to arrive?
Okay, well, my wife's at term now, so she could go into labor and deliver any day. But our due date is like July 10th or July like 15-ish. So we have like another 2 or 3 weeks maybe, but it could really be any point at this time. So I'm open soon.
Cool. Yeah, so do you think about it, anticipation every day?
Well, you know, now that after yesterday, it's kind of reached a whole different feel for me. Because before, I mean, the baby shower, it kind of felt like far off still. But now that, you know, we have the baby shower and we're more or less ready to have the baby in the house, and now that she's safely at term, so there's no complications with delivery at this point, I kind of just want, you know, to meet my daughter now.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. I don't think I'll ever want a kid, but I'm happy for you.
Cool, thank you. You can be Uncle Fisher.
Uncle Fisher. That sounds good to me.
So we have a new game for people to play today. Now, the wife and I haven't picked a name, but we are considering a new name, and we're considering naming her after someone. Originally, we were looking at doing, you know, some type of important female figure, particularly in sciences or whatever. And we were considering the name Ada Margaret at first, and Ada for Ada Lovelace, the computer programmer, and Margaret Hamilton was the part of the Apollo mission or whatever, programmed it and stuff. But, it's just kind of to the point where people aren't going to get those references. And two, her cousin had a baby a few months ago named Ava. And Ada and Ava just sounds too similar. And we're like, we'll find something else. So, we're considering using someone as a namesake. They are a modern figure. And quite honestly, I can't think of a female figure more worthy of praise or being used as a namesake. I mean, I can't really think of anyone really more deserving than this person that we're considering. And if you have a guess of who this might be, you can call us at, and I'm going to do this off of my head, 646-200-4733. Is that correct?
Yes, 247-33.
Look at that. It only took us 20-something episodes to remember that number.
I think I have a guess. But, well, I don't know. It's somebody that I think is cool anyway, but...
Okay, well, who's your guest?
Well, I'm thinking, like, Jane Goodall. I don't think that's who you're thinking of, but that's a worthy person, in my opinion.
There was a name we looked over, but it's not who we are thinking. We're thinking someone a little bit more temporary, or contemporary.
Contemporary, huh? Hillary Clinton?
No. Oh, God. Yeah. I gave my friend the same clue. Her guesses were Hillary Clinton, Lady Gaga, and Maya something or another.
Maya. I know somebody named their child Maya. I don't know. It's you know, it's illusion. So, you know, take that however you want to, I guess. But I don't know. Oh, Maya Angelou, yeah.
A very, very power figure in the feminist right movement. Let's see. Giving clues without giving it away.
They were feminist people.
Do we have any people calling in to guess yet?
Oh, we do. Hey, look at that. All right. Hello, you're on Radio RF. Who is this?
This is Well Named.
Oh,
hello.
What's
Welcome
up?
Welcome back to Radio RF.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good, how about you?
Oh, it's going good.
Cool.
Did you know that if Well Named was a Catholic, he'd be made a saint one day? But he's not a Catholic, so it's not going to happen.
They have saints in other churches.
So now, do you have a guess?
Well,
I was going to guess Lady Gaga, but I heard it, so now it's, is Optimus Prime a girl's name?
I mean, the wife and I are both very liberal, so I'd say yes, that could be a girl's name.
It is kind of like, you know.
Is it Diana?
No, it is not Diana. I don't think Diana is considered contemporary anymore. I mean, I know you and I kind of grew up with you know, Princess Diana and that whole story, but, you know, I mean, when you start thinking about it, that was, what, like 15 years ago now?
Probably.
Yeah.
Actually, I know what the name is, so I can only guess, troll guesses.
Oh, mm-hmm. You saw me post it in chat, maybe?
I did.
No. Okay, so he's not going to give it away. Can you think of a better clue?
A better clue. Was she on, like, the cover of Time or Newsweek or something? I'm thinking she may have been.
I think she was, actually. Yes, yes. She's also a winner of a certain prize. And quite honestly, the most deserving winner of said prize I've ever heard of.
There you go. That's a good clue.
Quite interesting to me. Now I want to know.
So Dreadfish, I want to chide you. The computer security industry is old and venerable, going back to at least the 70s.
No, this is true, yeah.
Did you ever read Frack magazine?
Yeah.
I'm gonna like forward you links to old Frack magazine articles. I think you'll get a kick out of them.
Okay, sounds good.
It was like an old hacker zine. I think like mid to late 80s, early 90s. You know, everything from, you know, how to make free phone calls on
telephones
back at the time to freaking stuff and all kinds of kind of hacking and anarchy stuff. It was amazing.
It reminds me of another hacker magazine, but it's all online now, and its name is just a number, but I don't remember what it is.
2600.
Yeah. I looked at that one.
See, 2600 was the frequency in hertz, like 2600 hertz, was the tone that the phone system used. So basically the command and control system used frequencies sent over the line, over the same channels that your voice would go over. So you could get something that could generate a 2600 hertz tone, and it would give you command and control access and let you make free calls. That's kind of the origination of freaking.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Hacking before computers.
Yep. Well, and so the fun story is that there is a particular character in, like, the history of freaking named Captain Crunch. And he got the name Captain Crunch because he discovered that there was a toy that was being given out in boxes of Captain Crunch cereal, and it was a whistle, and it just happened to make a 2600 hertz tone. So he basically pioneered this. You go get a box of Captain Crunch and get the whistle, and then you can go make free phone calls.
That's pretty cool. I think I remember my security and networking teacher telling us about that. He's the one who...
You've got to absorb the lore, the arcana.
Yeah.
Oh, how much things have changed.
To tell the story of Kevin Mitnick.
That's true. Like, that's a really good word for it because, like, hacking and programming is like magic of nowadays, you know? So, I've been thinking about that.
Well,
like, you know, real good programmers are like wizards, man.
I'm gonna let you guys go and see somebody else call you and guess the name. But congratulations, upcoming Itty.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's awesome. I saw a picture of you with an octopus on your head.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
It was adorable. I want to congratulate you just on the photo.
Wait, are we on Facebook friends?
No, but I saw it through somebody who is. Facebook.
Okay, okay.
All right, I'm going to go.
All right, well, thank
you
for calling in. Have a good evening.
Do we have any other callers?
Nope.
Okay, well, while we wait for some more callers, and again, that's 646-247-33, I can talk a little about some of my garden projects. So as you all probably know by now, I'm currently running three different gardens. Two of them are at my apartment. One of them is a few towns over, and that's meant to be like a community garden for donations. Now, my two at home, I'm at the point where I'm harvesting salad greens and stuff every day. Very shortly, I'll be doing the same with tomatoes and peppers. I've already harvested some hot peppers. My other peppers are just ripening right now, and my tomatoes are just ripening. And once they start ripening, I'll be pulling tomatoes every day, too. I couldn't get my okra to grow this year, so that was a little disappointing. I'm having problems with my cilantro as well, but we'll just try replanting that.
Yeah.
We did get established at our other location, so that's good.
That sounds pretty good. Our tomatoes are about the same, slowly but surely. But we used some herbs last night and some green beans, pan-cooked. There's also, I think the main thing that made it really good was garlic and butter put in the pan first with the garlic browned. But we added, I picked rosemary and the two types of thyme, regular thyme and lemon thyme, to go in it. And boy, whenever that was all done, like, those were the best green beans I had ever eaten. Gosh, those were so tasty. And, you know, definitely a lot had to do with the garlic, because I love garlic and butter. But those herbs, everything just came together. Some of the best green beans I've ever had.
That sounds really yummy. Now, I'm growing garlic this year, because garlic is also probably one of my all-time favorite food groups. And I actually think garlic counts as a food group that should be eaten in every meal.
garlic. Good old garlic. It's one of my favorite things ever.
Ever. Indeed.
Mm. I used to just eat a clove of garlic every day because I thought it was healthy. I guess, I mean, it is, but I just kind of stopped eating a whole clove of garlic because that's actually kind of painful. It can be.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be a little
burn.
Rough. I have a juice called the Flaming Antibiotic that's basically like some garlic, a hot pepper, and I forget what the other stuff is. And you would just, and I was supposed to literally just take a shot of it, and oh boy, does it burn. It's like, woo! But then you feel like amazing afterwards. Have you ever had garlic soup, which is basically just like roasted and pureed garlic in chicken broth or vegetable broth?
Ah, but that sounds really good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like hot, but not like not unhandably hot. I personally used to eat it over bread, like over like toast, but I'm not supposed to be eating toast anymore, so I'll have to find a new thing to eat it over.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. One of the things I used to like, I used to for a very short time, I worked at an Italian pizza beer joint, but and I was the dishwasher, which you know actually means you're also the prep cook, and I made. Oh, shoot, I just lost it. It was roasted garlic pesto, and the roasted garlic was actually deep-fried garlic, but I think actually I might have just made roasted garlic into a, you know, like its own thing, but it was really good, even though it was actually roasted by, you know, putting it in a deep fryer, but it tasted really good.
It
I think actually
really
it was roasted garlic ricotta, that's what it was, because I knew there was something else. It was roasted garlic ricotta. That was so good.
Okay. I'm going to have made one of those before, so I'll have to try that. Now,
yeah, and it was just a topic to go on pizza or something.
You know, so I'm still working on getting prepared, you know, for when she finally goes into labor and we go to the hospital. You know, we get to pack overnight bags for us. So I was just, you know, wondering if maybe any of our listeners had recommendations for, you know, what to expect during this phase and, you know, what we can do to prepare. You know, we've read a couple of different blogs and have some of the general ideas of the things you want to bring, you know, something that makes the room feel more like home, whether it's a pillow or a blanket or like a toy or a poster on the wall. Obviously clothes and snacks, our chargers, some toiletries. The thing that I'm actually most nervous about with that is that I don't have a smartphone anymore, and that I'm going to be at the hospital for 3 days with no internet access. And I'm sure, as most of you noticed, I'm pretty darn addicted to the internet.
I am too. It's okay.
Barely
go an
hour without checking.
Yeah, like, the thing I notice is that whenever I can access it, then I can't not access it. But if I don't have access to it, then I'm just okay, you know. So if I'm just away from anything that'll access the internet, then I'm okay with not having internet access.
See, I have mild withdrawals sometimes. I'm like, oh, my God, what's going on in RF? Did someone respond to me? I know I didn't post anything, but someone might have responded to me. I need to go check. My friends are there. Oh, my God, what are my friends doing? And then, I mean, there's also the point where, you know, where I'm going to be going, you know, where she's going to be going through labor, and I'm kind of just going to be sitting there watching her in pain, not able to do anything about it or do anything myself. And I know that's kind of selfish or whatever, but I'm a little sad that I'm not going to have internet.
Yeah, well, it's understandable. It's that's the social media syndrome coined right here by me on Radio RF. But yeah, that sounds like social media syndrome to me.
Yeah.
I have more of a search engine syndrome. For me, it's like instant look up whatever I want, because I'm like, you know, the king of random knowledge and trivia. Like, I think of something and I'm like, I wonder about this, and then I look it up. And then I forget it because, you know, technology.
Yeah, Google, why do I need to remember anything? That's only that. I think I also have that too. I mean, with a smartphone, you just take it so for granted the amount of times you literally just have like an idle thought and just, oh, let me Google that real quick. You know? Whether, you're talking, you know, wife and I are talking, you're like, oh, you know, I had this idea for dinner. Oh, how do you make that? What would you need? Oh, let me go look. Or, you know, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, didn't so-and-so happen? You know, blah, blah, blah. And then you can just go Google it. Or, you know, it's just minor things in our conversation that, you know, people used to kind of, I mean, I remember before I'd have to go home, pick out a book from my library, you know, rifle through hundreds of pages trying to find some arcane reference to something. But now it's like, done.
Yeah. I had read something at some point that, you know, basically like the way things are going with technology, there's the possibility that, you know, the human brain's going to adapt this way. That because we can just access knowledge just like that, we will grow out of the need to retain it, you know, because it'll just be accessible from anywhere at any time. And so we won't have
that
actual...
As long as that goes with growth in critical thinking, I don't know if it's a bad thing.
I wonder a little bit both ways. Because I see a possibility, and I think of it in a positive way, that we're basically growing into a sort of hive mind type thing. And people often associate that with, like, you know, being controlled by somebody else, blah, blah, blah. I don't see it that
way. We are the Borg.
Yeah, not quite like that. And actually, if anybody's a Doctor Who fan, I'm thinking more like the Ood. You know, they can all communicate telepathically with each other, and they have a hive mind type thing going on. And I think that
through
technology, humans are probably going to end up being like that. Similarly, you know, we're going to be able to access any resource from anywhere and that sort of thing. And we're going to become more collective when it comes to information sharing. And I think that's really interesting, actually. So I'm looking at a possible hive mind in the future with a positive outlook. It's change, but it's not bad change.
I mean, I do think there are some inherent risks. What happens when the grid goes down?
Yes,
I mean,
I don't like that on technology.
I mean, it'll happen. It could happen. You know, there are natural events that can cause the grid, the grid to go down, let alone, you know, human-caused issues that can cause it as well.
Yeah, that's my main thing, is I don't want to get so reliant on technology that I can't do whatever it is I'm doing that requires technology on a daily basis without it, you know.
Well, that's why I honestly believe that the future will very much look like an agrarian society, people growing their own food, having the base knowledge of how to provide for themselves, repair things, make food, grow food, harvest wild foods, on top of being entirely computer literate and exploring space. Because, I mean, God forbid, the, you know, the grid goes down, the ability to access it and use the critical thinking and the research gathering is no longer applicable. But, I mean, base survival skills should be something that we should all know.
Yeah, I agree.
Do we have any other guests calling in to guest or give advice?
We do not. Nope, nobody else. I think it was just well-named. He's our number one fan.
He is. Well, don't tell Orbit that. He might be our number one fan.
We'll get them to fight it out.
I would pay to watch that fight. Orbit versus Villainy. Round one, go!
Well, we've already had RF, whatever you throw down, you know, in one of the threads, so we could always have one between them.
That is true. Now, I'm imagining Wellname was going to say something very poignant and philosophical, and then Orbit is just going to use her planetary powers to crush him.
Yeah, you know, there's not much you can do against a planet. Wellname might have to get Galactus on his side. Then, you know,
unless he's willing to join the dark side.
Yeah, that's no moon. That's a space station.
That is very true. It's a well-made space station that he made by using the internet.
A well-made space station.
I hope it's more well-made than the last one.
Yeah. Well, you know, they all need to have some kind of vent or channel that goes to the very most vulnerable part of it. Like, that's just standard architecture in space.
Oh, of course, of course. You know, you need to, you know, keep engineers' jobs. If they made everything perfect, they'd have no need to remake new things. So, you know.
Sure. But, you know, like, it's like that, really, it was in the movie, I just lost the name of the movie, but, you know, the argument that, like, you know, who were all the contractors that built the Death Star, and they were still on the Death Star the second time they blew it up. So the rebels killed millions of innocent workers who were just trying to support their families, you know. Like, is that excusable? I don't know.
You know, I never thought about that before. I mean,
Clerk.
I hate to say it's the cows, Steve, I mean, that's war.
Suppose. And, like, you know, they did choose to work for the Empire, but maybe they had no choice, you know. Maybe it was work for the Empire or, you know, had your life ruined by the Empire. So, who knows?
Probably exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Then again, the Empire paid much better. So, I mean, there was always that. The Empire had the money to pay people.
Yeah, and, like, besides the Sith being all evil and crushing the rebels, where is the evidence that the Empire was just totally bad towards all people anyway, you know? Like,
I know there were mining colony planets that were basically slave camps.
That's true, I think. Well, maybe we will, we have another caller. Cool. Maybe we will find out in the new Star Wars movie. Caller, you are on Radio RF. Who are you?
This is Orbit.
Hey,
I told
Orbit.
You, she's calling to shake her claim that she's the number one fan.
Yes.
Well, we will have to ask you to prove it in some way.
I am the number one fan.
Yeah, are you willing to engage in combat with Wellnamed?
Hubba hubba.
Not that kind of combat.
How are you guys today?
I'm excited.
Oh,
I am nervous. I'm tired. I'm a little hungover.
Oh, you know, Andy, that picture of you with the octopus on your head is so cute.
Thank you. You know, I specially requested that octopus on our baby registry, not for the baby, but for myself. We actually have a whole force theme going with, like, foxes and, like, owls and hedgehogs and, you know, lots of cute forest animals and stuff and forest plants and then an octopus.
Oh, it's adorable.
That sounds nice.
Okay, well, I was just calling to defend my title as number one fan, so I'll let you guys get on with it.
But do you have any guests or any advice?
Advice about what?
well, I don't know what to what I should prepare for when going to the hospital, or how to prepare for going to the hospital.
For the baby.
Yeah.
Just be patient, really. I think patience is really the best thing. Because it's going to be, things are going to take longer than you think. You know, just be patient with them. I think that's my best advice.
Okay. I mean, a little difficult to follow now that, you know, we're at the nine-month part, you know. I've already done the patient thing.
So close. They're far away.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you guys are awesome. I'm going to go.
Okay. Thank you, Orbit.
Okay.
Have
bye.
Have a good evening.
Thanks. Bye.
So I also have our diaper bag packed, but, you know, we're obviously not going to need that immediately. But it was just nice to get that packed and, you know, the crib set up and the pack and play and all the changing tables full of diapers, you know. It'll make the apartment really look like, you know, we have a baby.
That sounds cool. I don't have much to say about babies, but, you know.
So we're,
my,
we still have to pick out a... We still need to pick out a going home outfit. And apparently this is one of the top priorities for parents expect to have a very cute coming home outfit. So, I don't know. We were looking at two in particular, and one of them was dressing her up like a little sushi roll, and it was so cute and yummy.
Oh,
so,
yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. Because
I was actually about to mention to just get a pumpkin costume and put her in a pumpkin costume to bring her home. But the sushi sounds even better.
Yes. She was like, you look so scrumptious, and I'd actually mean it. You really do look scrumptious.
Good sushi roll right there. I like sushi.
I just had sushi today, like the first time in months. I had to grab some to eat, I didn't grab enough for lunch, and basically there's nothing that I can eat on my diet other than sushi that I can grab out, which means I ate sushi, and I didn't have to feel guilty about it. The reason I haven't eaten sushi is because they recommend that, you know, pregnant women don't eat sushi. When the doctor talked to us about the risk about it, it sounded like the risk was very minimal. Basically, the way it was described to us is, you know, first and foremost, you obviously need to have meat, you know, your fish, it needs to be bad. And then on top of that, it needs to make you sick. And then on top of that, then it needs to cross through the placenta barrier, which is a hard thing to do. And then it becomes, you know, a threat to the baby. So, I mean, not to say that it doesn't happen. When it does happen, it's pretty devastating. So we've avoided sushi.
Right. And I guess otherwise it's an issue of mercury content, like eating any kind of fish when you're pregnant.
Yeah, but I think the biggest concern was actually the fact that it was raw and getting food poisoning.
Yeah. Well, yeah, fortunately that doesn't happen very often with sushi in general. So as long as it's prepared and kept cold ever since it's harvested.
But between the two things,
I
recommend you not. So we haven't, which sucks because we love sushi.
Yeah. What's your favorite? There's lots of different rolls. I actually like sashimi a lot. Just eating that piece of raw fish on top of rice is actually really good.
Okay.
If I could actually stand it, I'd probably eat more raw meat, I think. But actually, you get more out of it when it's cooked, more bioavailable ingredients or nutrients.
Yeah, but it doesn't taste as good when it's cooked. You know, we've looked into making sushi, but we're having an issue finding the sashimi-grade raw fish to use as an ingredient. It can't be found anywhere outside of wholesalers, and it's just really hard to find the right grade of meat, the fish to use.
Right. Yeah, you got to be really careful because it has to be kept on ice, you know, constantly. So that would be difficult to find.
Now, you asked me my favorite roll. Personally, I'm a fan of, like, specialty rolls at restaurants. Like, I don't get the standard, you know, California roll or squid roll or eel roll or, you know, anything like that. I mean, we'll get those sometimes, but usually we'll get, like, the Golden Dragon roll or the Volcano roll or, you know, the roll named after the town or so-and-so role. So we like a lot of things like that. There's actually at a sushi place in the town my mom lives in, we used to go to this place every week, and there is something on it called tuna pizza, which was actually a secret menu item that only I and a few other people actually knew about, and it was something they were experimenting with. So when we go there, you get this thing called tuna pizza, and they basically kind of make this, like, rice cake for, like, a pizza crust. And then there's, like, you know, tuna on it, you know, roe on it, some sauces and some other stuff. And it's just really good. But generally, I like things with crunch and spice in my sushi roll.
Spice is good. Some of my favorite ingredients are, like, the avocado and, oh, I just lost it now. I don't know. I do like the roe a lot, though. And, you know, naturally, I like the stuff with the kelp on it. I just forgot the name of that, that kelp paper stuff. But, you know, you could make sushi without the fish because, like, I've done that with friends. We got the thing, you know, with the rolling mat and all that, and we washed the rice correctly and all that stuff and made our own sushi. It was pretty good.
Yeah, we've done that a few times, and we even found a way to make a spicy tuna roll using, like, canned tuna fish. But, you know, it's just still not the same when you can't have the slices of raw fish in it. And, I mean, that's really what we're looking for when I eat sushi. It's just, I eat it and my belly feels, like, happy. Like, it just feels so happy.
Yeah, it is pretty good. I wonder how nutritious sushi is.
Yeah, I'd like to know the nutritional viability of it. And, you know, normally sushi rolls, they also have, like, fruit and vegetable fillers in them, too. So, you know, you're getting a good mix of stuff. And, you know, everything's usually pretty healthy. You know, it's fish, fruit, vegetable, rice. And then, I mean, there's sometimes a lot of sauces used. And that's where you start adding in the more unhealthy aspects to the sushi.
Yeah, that's why I usually avoid the sushis that have all the sauces on them. Because I'm like, no, that's not healthy there. It's not raw fish and rice.
I mean, when I go out to eat, I don't eat out often because we cook at home, we make very healthy food, and that's our main focus. So when I go out to eat, I give zero words I'm not supposed to say about it, and I just get what I want, what tastes the best, because I'm spending money. If I'm going to buy something because it's healthier, I just save more money and make my own damn dinner, you know? So if I'm going to go out and spend money, I'm going to get what tastes the most, the best to me, because I don't want to be disappointed in spending money.
True. Yeah, I thought about that, like, whenever I order out or go out, it's like, I don't do this very often, so I'm just going to have whatever tastes really good, you know. So that's why I got the chocolate chip pancakes when I went to IHOP, because I'm thinking overly sweet breakfast food and coffee is what you go to IHOP for, you know.
That is true. Sometimes the wife and I, we won't be doing this anymore, but there's this combination from a pizza place by us, called the Wing It, where you get like a dozen wings, a dozen mozzarella sticks, and a large pizza and a large soda for $25, which is it's a quality pizza. It's not like the prettier kind of pizza. So, I mean, it's a pretty good price for the amount of food you get. But what's really scary is how we are able to finish off an entire piece, an entire thing of wings, and an entire thing of mozzarella sticks. And before she got pregnant, an entire bottle of liquor with it. It would be our date night. We just ordered to eat an entire pizza in one sitting and feel fat and bloated and make fun of ourselves and then do it again next month.
That's good. Yeah, there's a good pizza place I like to eat at sometimes nearby, and that's actually where I worked for about a month. And it's wood fire, brick oven pizza, and the really nice kind of beers. Like, they do have, like, the, you know, Bud Light and stuff for the few people who want that, but people don't go there for that. They go there for the good craft beers and stuff. And the pizza, yeah, it's expensive, but it really is, you know, if not the best pizza I've ever eaten, it's among the best pizza I've ever eaten.
Now, I have another question for any listeners that might be listening and might be willing to call in. And we are, you know, the wife and I, we're, you know, kind of liberal, kind of hippie-ish, environmental oriented, and, you know, we're considering using cloth diapers. I think currently our biggest hang-up about using cloth diapers is the fact that we live in an apartment and we don't have our own washing machine and we have to pay to wash clothes, which kind of makes having to frequently wash diapers both expensive and an inconvenience. But at the same time, like, I don't know, does anyone use cloth diapers? Does anyone have any opinions on that? Let's say you can call in at 646-200-4733.
Yeah, I think my mom used those on me a little bit when I was younger, but not for the whole time. I was a baby.
So what do you think? Would you use them if you were to become a parent?
I don't plan on becoming a parent. I do like the, sustainability of cloth diapers. You know, I don't care for most things that you just throw away after you use them. I hate doing that because I always feel bad every time I throw it away, even though I'm like, there's no other way of doing this. Oh, no. But, that's cool if you can avoid throwing stuff away, but, you know, you present a valid point that that's not the easiest or most practical thing to do in your situation.
Sometimes yeah. Now, I don't know. Are there diapers that are organic and biodegradable? Like, is that an option? I don't have a compost pile this year, but last year we could have just buried diapers into the compost pile, but I know a lot of them have, like, plastics and gels in them that aren't necessarily environmentally friendly.
Let's see. I am, 10 best green baby diapers on the market. Oh, it's a slideshow. I hate slideshows. Just give me an RF.
Just give me a damn list.
I don't know. Some of these are like diapers with inserts in them or something like that. I don't know. I'd have to do more research while not on the podcast. But there may be a thing. So, yeah.
We will have updates on some of these questions for you later this week. Because that's what we do on Nerdy RF. We just say a bunch of mumbo-jumbo and then go and confirm it later on.
Yes. The Onion says this.
I think I read an Onion article that's not very satirical and probably pretty accurate. Justice, what is it, Scolio, and some of the other ones that voted against marriage equality, we'll realize that they were, will be portrayed as villains one day in a future movie about today's events. And it's like, kind of exactly what is going to happen. Kind of like how Idiocracy is the only movie that started off as a comedy that became a documentary.
I remember the only Onion article that I really remember was the title or the headline of it was Millions Die in Ongoing Africa. And it was, the most politically incorrect and hilarious article I've ever read, but it was great.
Now, we're talking about satirical news sites. I'm kind of going to go on a mini rant. Onion is funny, and it's clearly satirical. I mean, it is so clearly satirical that you really can't. I mean, I'm not going to say that people can't, because people definitely do, and it's a whole different issue. But, I mean, there are some satirical news sites, like Empire News and some other ones, particularly pandering to conservative viewpoints or whatever, that are written entirely in, satirical news, fake news, that people are sharing as, absolute truth and this and that, and having panic attacks over these literally nonsensical satirical articles, and it's a very pervasive problem on Facebook.
Yeah, I don't recall the name of the, actual sites or anything, but I remember reading an article that was, written so dryly and seriously, I really thought it was real until I, looked at it, really, really in depth, and I realized, wait a second, I think this is a joke. But, some of them, they don't do it quite right, and it's practically just misinformation,
Yeah, and I mean, at that point, I don't want to say that we should be doing something about it, because, I support the freedom of press, but, I feel like freedom of press only applies to people who are actually sharing information, I feel like some of these sites and news organizations, they should be severely fined for the spread of false information.
It's true. I mean, we don't even have to go into the fact of Fox News. I'm about to call them false
I'm
news.
Not even talking about
might
Fox
as well call
News.
Them false news. Yeah, and we know, Radio RF, or not Radio RF, but RF likes to talk about Fox News. But, they have they have a number of times published or aired completely false news stories or completely misleading headlines, you know. But, you know, and I still remember there is a study, or there was a study, that people who watched Fox News, got their news from Fox News, were less informed than people who didn't watch any news at all. So, you know, saying it's actually true. I remember reading an article or a petition or something like that, you know, people trying to get, I guess, the FCC to remove, or, you know, to tell Fox News to remove the news part of Fox because it doesn't actually meet the criteria of news. It's not actually informative and, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, it's pretty much a joke.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think a lot of our news sources have kind of reached that point where they're more opinion pieces than actual news articles. But I still think that's still better than some of these completely false, like, satirical news sites, you know, and the ones that aren't making it clear that it's satirical.
Yeah,
the worst part is, no matter how many times you tell people that they're satirical news sites, they're not accurate, you can literally provide links and references and, like, literally clear evidence that, A, the news article is false, and, B, the news site is false, and still the next day they share the next article.
Yeah, the sharing of stuff on Facebook is kind of a problem in and of itself. It's like, you know, just you see something, you like what it looks like on the surface, you share it, and so much misinformation and crap gets spread that way through Facebook.
There's a meme I like. Do you know what you did wrong, Timmy? Yes, I shared a meme without making sure it was true, leading down to the dumbing down of society.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. I like that.
I post that quite often nowadays. I'm kind of mean about it. I'm really, really sick of, like, mixed information or sexism, racism, just all rampantly being spread through just memes. Oh, but it's cute and feel good. No, it is not. Like, the ones about, like, you know, oh, a true girl, or, you know, you should do this for, you know, a girl, or this for guys, or this is what guys are doing. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, this is sexist. No, it's just feel good. It doesn't have, you don't have to view it. No, it's sexist. It is. And you're blatantly spreading sexism by spreading it. Or misinformation, or hatred, or bigotry. And, like, I know you people are doing aren't, you know, intentionally doing it, but it doesn't really matter what your intentions are. And, like, even just basically spreading memes that, like, kind of take for granted certain aspects of life lead to the continued cycles that, you know, we're currently in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm particularly passionate about misinformation, and I really, you know, I hate seeing misinformation spread. Like, you know, I just really hate that. So, I don't know. There's always been misinformation.
Oh, people say we live in
the
information age.
But
it seems,
like,
it seems more like we're living in the misinformation
spread
age.
By people. But I think the issue being now that it's so easy and to spread information, and more information can be spread quicker, that it's just more of a problem than it has been, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, look at us right here. You know, we're spreading information, you know? And I feel, I mean, personally, I take that responsibility with a very, very heavily weighs upon me, you know? And I try to very clearly make sure that when I share information that it's factual, and when I'm not sure, I make sure to point that out. As often as I can, and I hope if you ever see me slip up, you guys call in and yell at me, because, you know, it's how I learn. So, no more baby name guesses?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to look more. I had an idea, and then I lost it. I don't know. You'll have to just tell me off air.
I will. But again, it's not a choice. It's just something we're considering. It's just currently the number one name on our list. You're probably gonna do a facepalm when I tell you who it is. Especially now that we did the hint with well named. Once we did those hints, I feel that it was significantly more easy to get now.
It might be. I forgot those hints at this point. Though I've been focusing on talking about things. I forgot.
Okay, it's a contemporary female figure who's been featured on Time magazine and is the winner of a very important award.
Oh, yeah, I remember who I thought it might be now, yeah. But I don't know if it's actually here. Again, I don't know if it's the right one, but I do have another idea.
Okay. Do you want to guess it now, or should we wait till off air and let our guests can be? No, I'll tell you off air. I'll wait. You can give me my guess. Right. Your guess off air.
Right. I'll tell you and see if I'm right before you tell me. So yeah. Now, what do we have planned coming up? I know we've both been a bit busy, but do we have any particular thing coming up? Trying to finish off the series we've been doing. Or?
Yeah, our friend Adremalek, he was disappointed with his original episode on Sentinism, so we're going to redo that episode with him, and then we'll delete the original episode and just replace it with the redone episode, and hopefully we can still get a Satanism episode. I need to find a Satanist, so we're still working on that. What were the other ones we were talking about? We had a couple other ones in the plans. I've been very distracted. I have really, working, one or two jobs.
Yeah.
Baby, the gardens. I've been very spread thin. What was that?
Yeah, and I said you got a lot going on, and I'll adjust once I get used to my schedule and all that too. But I'm a slow person and a low energy person, so I usually like to do one thing a day and then the rest of the day not do things.
Not to say that it's not desirable, it's just, it stops being practical to have that mentality. You just kind of can't function in society with that kind of mentality.
I know, that's why I have such a hard time. But, I'm also just admittedly a very lazy guy. So
I've got good
work.
News for you. I'm lazy too, and laziness is overcomable.
I don't want to overcome it.
Laziness is a disease, and I can cure you by going to OJ Laziness Camp for the energy impaired.
I probably have a condition that makes me tired, to be honest. I could sleep indefinitely. I could probably sleep about 12 hours. I will wake up about 9 hours in, and then, it's time to get up, but I'm also still really sleepy and tired, so I'm going to go back to sleep, and then I'll continue to wake up after an hour, and I could continue to go back to sleep in the same way. I only feel fully rested or mostly rested after I've slept about 12 hours, so
that's
I
crazy.
Think I just have a bit of some sort.
You should talk to a doctor about that.
Yes, and like I mentioned, my mother has, I think, fibromyalgia and or maybe chronic fatigue syndrome, and I imagine that I just had whatever it is passed down to me, so I'm probably going to be tired for the rest of my life.
Maybe you have Lyme's disease that can make you feel tired.
Yeah, actually, originally that's what they thought Mom had. It was when I was a kid that it first started. I don't remember if it ever was that. I don't think they ever actually found out. So I don't know.
I read an interesting article that asked whether or not Lyme disease is actually the malaria of America. We all know Lyme disease is there. We all know where and how you get it, and we all know how devastating it can be, and yet the vast majority of people do not take the proper precautions to prevent themselves from getting it. I know the wife and I used to argue before we go hiking because, I'd make her wear, ankle or knee-high socks, tuck in her shoes, full shoes, pants, no cut-off shirts, I'd make her, dress properly and safe. And, it's so hot, blah, 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 blah. I was like, you say that now and you get Lyme disease. You're welcome.
Yeah, I don't like to wear too much clothing outdoors because I'm a naturalist and a bit of a primitive, and I like the idea of being very basic when I'm outside, but also it's practical to wear extra things. That's one reason why I'm looking forward to hiking with my shaved head, because now I know that I won't have anything on my head without seeing it, so that's nice.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, because I have the long hair.
Yeah, I know, I used to have to deal with that, and I'm so happy not to now. I do not miss having long hair. It's stylish, but it's not practical. I'm a very practical person.
Well, I think it depends on how you define practical. I think being able to have my hair dance at a rock show, and I'm like, yeah, and a headbang, and my hair's moving. I don't think there's anything more practical than that, my friend. I mean, how am I going to move and rock out without my hair? I can't. There's no way it can happen.
I don't feel like rocking out really fits into practicality, though. That's a luxury or a privilege. You know, it's not.
Listen, I mean, I just don't think there's anything more practical than music, and I'm a little disappointed to hear my musician friend disagree with that.
No, I don't play headband music, though, you see. So,
okay.
You don't need the hair to headbang. I mean, punks have had shaved heads, and they would headbang. So, you know,
and it looks nowhere as cool as a woman with the hair, trust me.
It's true. I used to headbang when I had long hair. And I enjoyed having long hair. When I was a little kid, I had long hair before it was cool. All the other guys had short hair, and I was once mistaken for my mom's daughter in Walmart.
All right, well, here's an argument for long hair being practical. Okay, so I've often talked about, you know, gardening and permaculture and farming and organic solutions. If you don't have long hair, if you don't have hair, period, you can't pull some hair out and put it around your garden, which keeps the deer away. You just sprinkle a little bit of some larger mammal's hair around your garden, and the deer won't come to it. So that's what we did with my hair this year, and we haven't had any deer.
That's cool. I didn't know about that. That's good to know. So, yes, that's practical. It adds an extra resource at your disposal. I will admit that point.
It's probably good for fire starting, I imagine. But it makes the stinkiest fire in the universe.
Yeah, very smelly. You can use dryer lint to start fires. That's a thing. If you want to keep, like, ready bag for, like, camping and stuff like that, I used to keep a little Ziploc bag of dryer lint, and it's very easy to start fires with that. I mean,
I got a bag like that in my bug out bag or preparation bag or hiking bag, whatever. You know, I keep a bag or two in our trunk full of, like, necessary survival gear. And it's with us wherever we go. And if we need it, we need it, and we have it. And we're prepared.
Yep. Well, that sounds good. Well, we only have a couple minutes left, so maybe on Thursday we'll have this follow-up interview, or revisitation, rather. And we'll see what we end up doing next week. I'll probably have another song from my band on Thursday. We'll see. I just need to upload them. But I have them. And, yeah.
All right. Well, if we don't have any of the callers, I think it's time to say good night, good morning, and good afternoon.
And good night.